Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. The title of God's Hidden Treasure we're going to dig into today is Becoming a Somebody. Let's open with a word of prayer. Well, our dear and gracious God, we thank you for so many blessings you bestow upon us. And we thank you that no matter what our life circumstances are, you see us. You see us clearly for who we are, and you love us. You never turn away from us. Your heart's desire is to see our lives lived to their fullest. We thank you for that. We thank you for this time together. Let every heart and mind be open to you, that we may hear not just the words from the page, but hear your heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, okay, today we're looking at becoming a somebody. This comes from one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and you know, we've talked before about, we've looked at various people in different circumstances, different straits. This one is not a widow, it says just a woman, but we're going to turn to the Gospel according to Luke, and remember what we always say, the first thing you do is ask yourself, where is it? Why did that person write? This is out of the Gospel according to Luke. And you remember back when we began this, we talked about the different accounts of the Gospels and that they each had a different emphasis and a different focus. And the Gospel of Luke shows Jesus as the Son of Man. The emphasis is on his humanity. The emphasis is on the individuals that he reaches out to, that it goes beyond a hierarchical structure. It goes beyond formalities, but he reaches not just into the Jewish community at the time. That's why Luke's, you know, Matthew, that was his focus. But Luke was reaching out to the Gentiles, to the educated, to the uneducated, to the working class, to the poor, to women and men, people who were in despised circumstances, etc. And that's why you see many of these accounts that show individuals in very difficult circumstances, because Luke is always emphasizing the humanity of Jesus. So we're in the book, the Gospel according to Luke, and we're going to be in chapter 8. This is, I'm sure, to most people, a very, very, very familiar passage. but I'm going to read it. And we're going to start with verse 43, and we'll read on down through 48. So that's just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 verses is all. But there's an awful lot jammed into these 6 verses. First off, we just read the first verse. The first verse in itself, it's terrible that our life could be summed up in just a few words. Verse 43 says, "And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which was spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any." This woman had had a disease that caused her to continually bleed for 12 years. And sometimes we always look at the disease issue, but there's so much more involved with that. It's in this handful of words that this whole life is explained. There is a woman who has had a disease for 12 years, and this disease has had its impact on her life. She has spent all her living, not just all her savings, everything she had to survive on, she has spent in doctors. And in the course of these 12 years, she's gotten no healing from any of them. So first we had a woman who was sick, but then we have a woman who's been chronically ill. Chronic illness takes something out of us that even a very acute illness does not. Coming to terms with this is the way it is, and always fighting that desperate thought, and this is the way it's always going to be. So she took what finances she had and also what hope she had. She took it to the physicians. She went to them looking for help, expecting help. They helped other people, but they could not help her. So now she's sick and she's broke, and now she even becomes hopeless. Because now there's nowhere that she can get any help. It didn't say went to a physician. She went to physicians. That means she went to the specialist. She went to the Cleveland Clinic. She went to the Mayo Clinic. She'd gone everywhere. She'd looked for all the people who maybe had the cutting edge track on what was going on with her. And she could not get any help. Now she's sick, broke, and hopeless. But that isn't even all. Like, that's enough. But in that state as well, this woman has not just a disease, but the kind of disease that's looked on in their circumstances with disgust. Because of it, she was ceremonially unclean. That means she could not present herself at the temple for services. And so now she's cut off from church. I always find it funny. I work with people who have illnesses, and people who will go to church for solace, for comfort, for help, etc. And yet, when they become ill and they can no longer go to church, the church does not always reach out to them. So now they then are cut off from even that spiritual support they would get. She was treated as an outsider, an outcast. Because of her issue of blood, she was unclean. It's one thing to have a disease that defines your physical being, but something else when you have a disease that defines your spiritual and your social outlook. We have these things in this country. We may not have leprosy. We may not have... And we've even passed through when HIV was this terrible, people were ostracized for having AIDS, and people were judged for however they got them. This scripture says absolutely nothing about how she got into this condition. It just meets her right there in that condition. But we have other issues in this country and around the world that really begin to eat away at how people think of us. It used to be a thing that if we had teenage pregnancy or unwed pregnancy, that also socially ostracized you. Now it unfortunately has become the norm instead of the exception. But people can not only have a medical condition, although that obviously pregnancy is not an illness, but it is a condition that requires medical help. But it also still requires spiritual help and support. and social help and support. In this country, we see this also a lot with mental illness, not just here, around the world. People who have any kind of mental conditions, and I'm talking about simply some depression or anxiety, they then can be ostracized from their spiritual community and from their social community. Because she was ceremonially unclean, no one was allowed to touch her, or they became unclean. I can't imagine, if you can think about living for 12 years, coming into poverty, being so isolated to the point that nobody ever even just came up and gave you a hug. Nobody ever patted you on the shoulder. Nobody ever just held your hand and let you know by the power of touch that you are accepted. It is not by accident that when Jesus came upon the leper who said to him, "Lord, I know you can heal me. You have the ability to heal me, but I don't know if that's your desire to heal me." This man had begun to question not just God's healing ability, but his acceptance, his being included in the heart of God. Jesus said, "I will," but he did something far more powerful than that. It says that he reached out and touched the man. Sometimes there are some things nothing but a touch will do. It's one thing, I'm kind of going all afield on this, but it's a powerful point. When Peter and met the man at the gate who was lame, and he said, "Look on us," and he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." And then he used words, "In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." But he did not stop with those words. Too much of the time, we just want to stop with words of encouragement. It says he reached down and lifted the man up. He took his hand in his hand and lifted him up. He held his hand and helped support him. It's one thing for us to give words of healing or words of encouragement or words of inclusion, but for us to actually take those actions. Jesus touched the leper. Peter reached down and touched the lame man. This woman had not had so much as human contact in 12 years. We can, you know, it doesn't say it specifically, but we can extrapolate that, because she would have been unclean. And then they had the right to stone her if she came into the congregation, which you will see this unfold. But I want you to understand how this woman is feeling. She hid in the shadows. She didn't dare go out in public. When she went out in public, she was supposed to announce her presence so that people around her would know to get out of her way. She was supposed to walk down the street going, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." How horrible to label yourself that every time you went out the door. You wouldn't feel like a somebody. You would feel worse than invisible. You would feel like a pariah. I can't describe how awful that would feel, although some of us have some kind of inkling what shame and disgrace can do to the human soul. This woman would have to declare her presence as unclean so that everybody would scatter and not touch her. We talk a lot about the impacts of these things, but in this one little verse, we've heard so much that sums up years of a woman's life. Verse 43, a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. She was at the point of desperation and despair. Verse 44, look what she did. Came behind him, that is Jesus, and touched the border. Let me emphasize that. It says border, does not say garment. Does not say hem. It says the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. That means stopped, dried up. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, I didn't. Peter said, and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and thou sayest, who touched me?" other words, they're saying, you're a crazy guy. Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue or that power, it's the same Greek word, has gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she was so used to hiding in the shadows all the time, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. There are three fabulous words in there. Comfort, whole, and peace. Her act of faith gave her those things. But there are a couple of different tracks I want to take on this passage. And I want you not just to think of it academically or intellectually, but I also want you to feel the plight of this woman. She was at the point of desperation. We know that she was broke. We know that she was isolated. And it says that she came up behind him in the middle of this throng, this multitude. They were jostling, and you know how it is. You get in a group, you know everybody's not orderly. People just jostle each other, and they're all trying to press in and get close to Jesus. And in the midst of that, she took literally her life in her hands to come up, but she couldn't even come up to him. It says she came up behind him. Sometimes we don't realize the power of that. This woman feels so ashamed of her own existence that she wouldn't dare meet Jesus face to face. Sometimes we just kind of got to sneak up from behind in spiritual things. It's not because God wouldn't allow us to see him face to face, but we are so filled with self-contempt, filled with so much self-debasement, that we can't even imagine that Jesus would welcome us face to face. So we kind of sneak up behind him. But that was a great act of faith. Don't think that this was just, you know, another common, ordinary thing. These people around that town, they knew who she was. They knew, because she would declare herself enough times. She literally took her life in her hands. Sometimes we want a great thing from God. We want to press in and touch him, but we don't want to take that extra step, that extra act of courage, that extra act of faith to reach out to him. He did not come find her. There are places in the scriptures where you see Jesus will find people. He will go looking for them. We talked about the woman at the well. He waited until she came. He wanted to talk to her. But this woman, he didn't know she existed. He had no idea. She was invisible as, you know, as the clouds. It was just, she was transitory, non-existent in the eyes of everybody there. And that worked to her favor. You know, we talked about the four leprous men, that their positioning, they were outcasts. They weren't allowed in the city. But what that did for them was give them the ability to be in a place to help that great act of deliverance for themselves and for the city to come to pass. Her same invisibility is working for her in this event. She is totally without defense. Nobody coming to her defense, because nobody can, you know, can touch her. Nobody can help her. She comes through, and she literally risks her life because they could stone her. And it says that she comes up from behind. She has no desire to talk to Jesus. She doesn't want to get a hold of his hand. She's not like the great, you know, the great leaders who came up and said, oh, Lord, please come to my house. All she wanted to do was touch his garment. She didn't even want to touch him, but touch his garment. Now, had Jesus known that, or, you know, anybody had seen that, that would have ceremonially made him unclean and everybody else that she jostled up against. But here's the beautiful thing about the love of God, the true presence of God in our lives. Those who are riddled with low self-esteem, those who are riddled with shame, those who are riddled with despair, they do not rub off on us. It's not like, well, be careful who you hang out with because that'll who you will be. Well, it's the other way around. The virtue, and that's the word he uses, that it's that power in him. She tapped into it, and it did not flow. Her disease did not flow from her to Jesus, but that force, that life force in him flowed from him to her. We have to also understand some people are so busy trying to make sure they never talk to anybody who looks like they, have anything untogether in their life, trying to prove how virtuous we are, prove how holy we are, that we don't really rub shoulders with people who are in a desperate situation without understanding that the life force in us flows from us to them. So Jesus, so she came up in the midst of him, and she wanted to touch what? We used to sing this song, oh, God forgive us for singing it, that we've touched the hem of his garment, and his love has made us whole. Well, it kind of, you get this image of somebody kind of crawling along in the dirt, and they reach out for his ragged old dirty hem that's kind of, in the dust, as though all you need is the most raggedy, dirtiest part of him, and it'll elevate you, which actually was true, but that's not what this scripture is talking about. It says that she touched the border of his garment. Now, we won't go back into Old Testament today. I love that stuff, but we won't do it. But you will, if you go look it up, and you can find it, it's not impossible. When it talked that the men were to sew borders or fringe. Gosh, I love it. I love a man in fringe. Anyway, they were to sew fringe or a trim, a border on their garments, especially they're talking about when they would pray, the garment that they would use for that. And the reason, and we can look that scripture and find it if you want, but it's there that says they were to sew these were the instruction of God. Some people who think, oh, it's so shameful to have any embellishments. There are a whole sects of Christianity that believe women have to dress so plainly and never any kind of embellishment or adornment. But God told the men to sew this border, this fringe on their garment when they prayed, not just for any day, but even for prayer. They're to have it. And the purpose of this fringe, it says, is that when they pray, they will remind themselves of where they touch God. In other words, where they meet God, where their connection, their covenant with God is, that they have a right to pray and have God hear them. So in essence, it's not some raggedy, dirty, trim on their garment, that bottom that drags in the dust as we walk. But she tried to touch Jesus where Jesus touched God. The fringe was to remind the men when they prayed that you have a covenant, and when you pray, God will hear you. She wanted to touch Jesus where God would hear him. I think that that's just this beautiful picture, and we kind of have messed it up with this whole, if I just touch the raggedy old hem of his garment. She knew where to touch him. So many times we want to figure out how to get a hold of God. We just need to get a hold of Jesus where he gets a hold of God. There is a promise to us in that. All right, we're going to move along. So she comes up behind him, and she touches the fringe of his garment. Okay, Jesus immediately stops. Okay, two things. The issue of blood immediately staunched or stopped, and he stops. The thing is, God does not just respond to the high, to the influential, to the important, to the well-spoken, to the wealthy. It is those people who have an active, vibrant faith that stops him. If you will see the places in the scripture where God stops, where Jesus stops, it's when he hears somebody cry out in faith. Remember, he called blind Bartimaeus to him. He heard his voice above all the voices around. There were a lot of voices, but he was calling out in faith. Remember when the centurion came to him and he says, "You don't even have to come to my house, just speak your word." And Jesus said, I haven't seen faith like this in this whole of Israel. There are other places where it's somebody's love. Somebody's been tormented because somebody they love. You know, when the Syrophoenician woman wants Jesus to touch and heal her daughter, and she says, you know, "I know I'm not part of the covenant, but hey, even the dogs get crumbs." She had such a profound love for her daughter that Jesus honored her faith, not the relationship by the social structure, but because the content of her heart, because she had such a love for her daughter. Love is always one of those things that stops him in his track. Faith is another thing that stops him. So he felt her touch him. And obviously he could not have felt her, because when you touch a garment, you don't feel it. If she touched his arm, you could have said that was in the physical. But it was a spiritual touch. And he felt her. He felt her. When we touch Jesus spiritually, he feels it. He stopped, and immediately he asked a question. He said, "Who touched me?" Who touched me? I want you to understand how invisible this woman was in the crowd. I think that's one of the saddest things in our society today. So many of us can feel invisible. We walk down the street, nobody sees us, nobody cares about us. We just go about our business, and whether we have great joy in our heart or we have great pain in our heart or whether we have struggles in our heart, we are invisible to the world. Only those things that get on YouTube are visible to the world. But the contents of our heart, sometimes the elderly in nursing homes can seem so invisible. I'm going to go very soon and visit my two aunts, one of whom is in a facility. And the thing I'm so proud about my family and the love and the faith they have is that not only her children, but her nieces and nephews visit her very frequently. These people are in our lives and they're important to us. And just because somebody isn't physically whole or mentally whole, they are still vibrant part of our life. And so this woman was invisible to the crowd. Her hopes, her dreams, her desires, her struggles, her failures, nobody saw them. But when Jesus felt that touch of faith, he stopped in his tracks and he said, "Who touched me?" Now, Peter, along with the others, the reality was true what they were saying, that there were so many people jostling around them. And he said, Peter said, "The multitude throng oppress thee, and thou sayest, who touched me?" In other words, when she came up to him, she was a nobody. Peter is saying, hey, anybody could have touched you. Well, even that's an elevation from a nobody to an anybody. You know, I'm at least an anybody. But that wasn't even it. Jesus then reiterates and says to Peter, "Somebody hath touched me." Somebody. She came in that crowd as a nobody. And her faith elevated her to an anybody. But it was the love of Jesus looking out for her that elevates her to a somebody. She said, "Somebody touched me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, when we are used to being invisible, we hide. But when the spotlight of Jesus' love shined on her, she realized, I can't hide anymore. I'm not invisible. And when she saw that she was no longer hidden, she was no longer invisible, she was no longer just a nobody, she said, she fell down before him, you know, at his feet, and she declared before all the people why she had touched him. Now remember, that's the thing that could have got her in the biggest trouble. But by that point, it was a done deal, wasn't it? So why she had touched him. Now watch, she's elevated. She came as a nobody. Then Peter saw her as an anybody. Then Jesus said she's a somebody. And then her own declaration before Jesus. Look at the next thing he says unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. She is no longer just a somebody. She is now a daughter. She is a child of God. She is a direct descendant from Jesus. She's a direct relative close to him. He says daughter. That's actually, it isn't as we use daughter and son, but it's a term of endearment. It's you know, I got one of my cousins who always says, hi, cousin. He always tells you, where are you from? My cousin from Arizona, this is your cousin from Ohio, cousin from Kansas. It's a relationship. Daughter means like you're close, you're dear, you're precious, you're special. And so Jesus now talks to her and says, daughter, be of good comfort. To go from desperation. And the healing wasn't all those terrible things that had happened to her, her poverty, her despair. Be of good comfort. Your faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Well, that's all good, and I like all that. But there's another transition I want you to follow. And that is, we saw the progression of what's happened in her heart, in her spirit, in her used today's language, her self-esteem, her self-worth, to go from being a nobody to being a somebody, anybody, to a somebody, to a dearly beloved one. That's pretty good, you know. But we also saw her desperation become an act of faith, but then it became a declaration of faith. Sometimes we get to a point, you know, we will let ourselves go downward and downward. It was 12 years of heartache, 12 years of hurt, 12 years of pain and suffering and isolation, till it got to that point that she had her act of faith. But her act of faith did so much, but it truly was the declaration of faith. Sometimes we know what's happened in our heart, but we don't feel it until we say it out our mouth to declare how much we love God and appreciate what he's done in our life. But there's something else that's very, very important in my few remaining minutes that I want you to understand. Because we see that a healing happened here. Actually, there are two healings, and we'll get to that when we close up. But the first thing is, I want you to follow. We think about healing. We understand that if you go to the doctor and you've got a disease and you take a medicine, you're better. We even understand that prayer or the praying by somebody else for you or anointing oil or laying on hands of elders or any number of things can bring about healing through a spiritual vein. Great. But we sort of think it as sick, well. That's it. You're sick, now you're well. But I want you to see that this happened in stages. There were different phases, different stops on the map with this thing. And I want you to understand them, because many times that's the progression of our physical healing, but even sometimes of our soul, of our emotions, of our psyche, of our standing financially, or any number of things. She came to him with this disease, and she pushed her way by faith, and she touched the border of his garment. When she touched the border of her garment, what happened? It said that the issue of blood, what? Staunched. It stopped. For a lot of people, that would be a miracle in itself. that you have some terrible debilitating situation. And it may not even be physical. It could be a disease. It could be financial. It could be mental. It could be social. Whatever is happening to you, that if the problem just quit getting worse, it just seems to be spiraling downward and downward and downward. And then something happened and God intervenes and all of a sudden, boom, it stops. Most of us would be jumping for joy. We'd be so happy if that's all we got. And that might have been the woman, too. She might have had the issue of blood staunched and then tiptoe away. But Jesus stopped and said, somebody touched me. And so then she comes and she tells him and the crowd what has happened. She said, you know, that she came up behind him and this and for this cause. And then it says that she was what? Immediately healed. That means the disease itself is gone. You know, as we get older, various things begin to creak or ache or not work like they should. And we just kind of think, if I could just stop the progression of this thing. We don't even have an idea of it being turned back anymore. But it not only, she just said, it quit getting any worse. And I just can't believe it. After 12 years, it quit getting worse. Then all of a sudden, when she's talking about this thing, the disease itself completely goes. So that's the second stage. But then, because she has had this encounter with Jesus, he says to her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has what? Made thee whole. You can have a disease gone, and that still doesn't make you whole. Her life was more than just the disease gone. All of her finances were gone. All of her relationships had suffered. Her self-esteem had suffered. Her interaction with her family had suffered. Her spiritual life, she couldn't go to church, had suffered. So many things in her life had gone south, but she was thinking, if I could just get rid of this thing, that'd be good enough. But Jesus said, to be made whole, and that's a legal phrase. I certainly am not a lawyer. I know enough of them to know that that's what, when there is a lawsuit or that kind of thing, the goal is for the court to, quote unquote, make you whole. That means put you back to like you were before it happened. If you just have an insurance claim, you have a little bumpy to bump on your car, you have to pay the deductible and they will pay, you know, whatever it would cost to fix it. But if it's worse than that, you have to get you back to whole, which means it isn't just enough to kind of fix it up. They've got to get you back to the way you were before it happened. And that means a lot. And most of us have kind of given up on being made whole. We just at most are looking for to be healed. But Jesus didn't stop until she was made whole. Wholeness is so much more than just the disease being gone. It's the restoration of her family. It's the restoration of her faith. It's the restoration of her hope. She can have expectations again. She can, you know, restoration of her finances, etc. This lady came, and when we first saw this snapshot of her, we saw in just one verse a lifetime, well, not a whole lifetime, but 12 years of despair, of discouragement, of financial drainage, of hopelessness and isolation, and actually finally invisibility and despair. But she made a movement toward Jesus. She didn't actually touch him. She just kind of touched his garment. And the first stage of that thing happened. Two miracles of healing are happening simultaneously. One was the physical healing, which was the issue staunched, number one. Then number two, she was healed. And then number three, she was made whole. At the same time, there was another healing going on. And that had to do with her as a human being. She went from an invisible nobody to a just kind of like anybody else, anybody, to a singled out somebody, to a very precious daughter of God. I just want to encourage you today that, you know, we're going to work our way through things, but know that it wasn't just her faith. Her faith propelled her toward Jesus, but it was the touch of Jesus that brought her into being a somebody. If you're feeling an invisibility today, if you're feeling a worthlessness today, if you're feeling despair or discouragement today, know that the touch of God is still not only available, but still working as it always has. As we move toward Him, He stops in His tracks and He looks us in the eye. He singles us out, and that can be scary. But if that is the point where He looked at her and He said, somebody has touched me. And then He says, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, socially, in any way that financially, any way that you can imagine, I'm praying for a two-tiered and three-phase healing for you, that whatever it is that has been draining you of your life force will immediately stop. And then it will be gone. You'll be healed. And then you will be made whole. That whatever it has done to your heart, to your spirit, to your mind, that itself gets reversed. And you not only come out of the shadows, come out of the invisibility of the crowd, but you know that not only has His touch made you a somebody, but you are dear and precious to Him. You're a son, you're a daughter. You're very, very important to Him. You're beloved. You are a somebody. I hope that this examination of this little passage, of this gal, that's only like half a dozen scriptures in the Bible, but it's a human life. Everyone around us, they may not seem big and important, but everyone is a story. Everyone is part of the gospel. I just encourage you today to reach out to Him and let others reach out to you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I know that the world may count some of us as nobodies. Some of us might even feel like we're just an anybody. But God, You see us as a somebody, not just a somebody, but a son or a daughter who's dear and who is precious. God, we ask You for those things that have been draining us, that You stop them, that You heal them, and that You restore us to wholeness in Jesus' name. Thank You for our time together. Thank You for this word that we've shared. Thank You for everybody who will take this to heart today and let this word wash them clean and clear and whole and strong, full of comfort and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you next time. I'm so glad that you take the time to listen and re-listen sometimes and to share that with somebody else, because God wants us all to be the answer to somebody else's prayer. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Midst Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy all of the Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. And the broadcasts are as follows. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime. That's 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Harkey is aired on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the God in the Mist broadcast is aired every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you get an opportunity, please go to the blogtalkradio.com/God in the Mist website and listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's online archives. While you're on the blogtalkradio.com/God in the Mist website, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at Get 'Em Radio, that's G-I-T-M Radio, at gmail.com. Or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him